Francis.
Well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Nass.
The whole team suck.
Felger and Nass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Celtics will have to shoot one more time or take a shot clock violation. It was a building ready to explode at the start, and LeBron James defused it with a legendary performance. Terry Rozier takes the shot clock violation, which will be a fourth quarter turnover for him. 42 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists, highlight after highlight after highlight, and the clock will hit triple zeros. And in spite of it all, LeBron James and the Cavs are going back to Cleveland. Down 0-2. A stirring come-from-behind win in what may have been the Marcus Smart game of all Marcus Smart games. The final score, Boston 107, Cleveland 94. The Celtics lead the Eastern Conference Finals 2-0.
All right, folks, how you doing? Right to it. What'd you make of that one, Anthony?
What did they used to call them way back when they were old and sucky? The Cleveland Cadaverliers?
Yes.
Isn't that what they were? The Cadaverliers?
The Cadavers.
Well, that's what they look like now. They look old and they look slow.
You're starting with
them again. They look old and they look slow. That's what they look like. So, to me, LeBron was what I thought he would be in the early part of the game, although I still think he's settling for too many jumpers. But beyond that, give the Celtics credit. They want it more. They want it more than the Cavs right now. I think that, to me, is one of the real critical elements in this series so far, particularly last night. I think the Celtics are playing with a we're not going to lose and we're not going to lose on our home floor mentality, and that is showing up. And
didn't the Celtics turn them into the Cadavers?
Yes. Yeah, the Celtics are younger, hungrier, faster, like all of that. Now, the shots going in and not going in, like, you know, I think that can change on a nightly basis. Depending on the
Cleveland shots were going in last night.
Not all of them.
You understand.
They
were going in.
Well, they were going in for LeBron and Love in the early...
And Korver.
In the early part of the game for Korver.
Yeah. They were going in.
Yeah.
The Cleveland made their shots.
Okay, what are the other guys on the team shooting?
But that's not the point. The point is Cleveland did their job to start that game and the Celtics wouldn't go away.
To start the game.
Well, not just to start the game. For the first half of the game.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean, though. In the second half, Cleveland turned right back into what it was in game one.
But here's my point, that a lot of teams, the Celtics in the past, would have gone away.
Yes.
If LeBron, and we've seen it, you know, even when you've had good teams, you know, your Garnett team in 2012, when LeBron has showed up and has done what he did to start that game, you and most other teams just sort of take it.
Wilt.
Not our night. He's taking over one of those nights. Okay. And you didn't do that in this game.
Correct.
Cleveland was making the... Don't act like Cleveland didn't show up and not make... Cleveland was making their shots.
Did I say Cleveland didn't show up, Murray? Did I say anything about not showing up?
No.
No.
You didn't use those words.
No. In the second half, I thought Cleveland started to regress again.
Because they're losers.
Yeah, maybe. That might be it. It might be that simple.
But you put them there. Like, I mean... Is it like
in the second half last night, they did.
You put them there. You I think you force them to show their colors, which is a team with not a lot of heart and not a lot of fortitude. And that's who Cleveland is at their core. But LeBron's so talented that, you know, it doesn't matter a lot of nights. You made it matter. So, I mean, I think both things are true.
Do you think it's over?
Except that I think that, I mean, well, now you ask me for a prediction again.
No. I do think that.
I'd be really surprised if Cleveland comes back and wins.
Okay, I don't think it's over yet.
I mean, sure. I mean, it's game three should be Cleveland's now. I mean, it should be, right? But, you know, given the way things are going with the Celtics, I there's no absolutes.
Well,
you know?
And I think that.
But hold on, they go back to, you know, they get that game three at home, like that's sort of the obligatory one. You thought Philadelphia would get in the last round, but let's say Cleveland gets it. Let's say the law firm of Brothers and Foster shows up in game three, and now there's a little wind at their sails, and those choking pukes, those dogs on that team, just get a little bit of home cooking, and now it's 2-2. So look, of course you can make that case. I don't know if the Celtics are going to lose at home.
So that's sort of that's the ultimate takeaway and conclusion I came to last night. I now have serious doubts about whether Cleveland can win on this floor.
I mean, Cleveland gave you a hell of a shot. And you stood right there and took it.
So to me, that like coming into this series, I thought if you were to ask me one team over the other, who has a better chance of winning on the road, it was Cleveland. I looked at it and said, Cleveland can win a game here. I'm not sure the Celtics can win in Cleveland. Now, I don't know that that's true.
Big Jim Murray in our update studio. What are your thoughts?
Well, I could just sum it up with a prop. How about that?
Oh, a prop.
All aboard.
Where'd you get that?
North Conway, a place called Zeb's.
What
it's
is like that?
It's an old-timey store. It's a train whistle.
Is that an actual train whistle? That's so cool.
Oh, I like it.
It's a piece of wood.
All aboard. I mean, as well as the Celtics played, too, you can't not talk about the Cavaliers because the disparity in terms of effort and balls, especially in the fourth quarter, is astounding. They quit. They quit. Who played well for the Cavs last night? LeBron for like a quarter and a half. I'll give you Tristan Thompson for the whole game.
Love was pretty good.
And Kevin Love, kind of, sort of, but he's still soft at times. Everyone else, bunch of bums.
Ask it a different way. Who played well defensively?
Oh, God.
Exactly nobody.
Tristan Thompson, kind of?
Maybe-ish.
Maybe, yeah, and maybe LeBron a little bit.
No!
No, he didn't. He packed it in.
I thought LeBron defensively was...
His whole night. It's the softest 42 I've ever seen in my life.
His whole night? You know those three-pointers where there's no one within 15 feet of Jaylen Brown?
Sure. That's LeBron?
I think it was LeBron on some of them.
Well, maybe.
You know, those plays where they're not rotating in the third quarter and Van Gundy's getting at them? That's LeBron.
Oh, so that one, the one with Rozier, was LeBron.
How did the Celtics stay in it primarily early? It was Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Who was Jaylen Brown's cover?
LeBron.
It was LeBron. So I think, you know, LeBron showed up. He doesn't deserve much criticism. So either this is age or wear and tear or... something.
Resignation.
But he did not show up defense. That was not a complete game from LeBron last night.
Well, after he got the boo-boo on the head by Jason Tatum, it was a different night for LeBron. I mean, come on.
Oh, get ready to hear this for 3 days.
Yeah,
oh, God, please, yeah. I didn't want to hear that one either.
But didn't you see that coming, that you weren't going to get what you saw in the first quarter? And so, as well as he played in that first quarter, too, and immediately, too, it was like, oh, God, here it is, freight train LeBron. It's going to be one of those nights. As well as he played... the Celtics were still only down by 4 points in that first quarter. So that speaks to their personnel and this team. And with this personnel and that the fact that most of them quit when they face any adversity, like they have in the first couple of games, I do kind of think it's over. I do.
See, I don't yet because I'm not sure the Celtics can win in Cleveland. I mean, again, the Celtics are 1-4 on the road this postseason.
Celtics can definitely win in Cleveland.
Yeah, see, I'm not convinced.
I mean, that's not to say they will, because now we're into prediction things again. Like, did anyone predict 3 weeks ago the Celtics would have won 7 of 8 playoff games and would be 2 games from the NBA Finals by thumping? So, like,
I believe I did.
So, what's the point of predictions?
But again, to say that the Celtics, I don't know if they can win in Cleveland, is not an insult.
No,
most teams don't win on the road in the NBA.
True.
They're 1-4 on the road in the postseason, and it took Philly crapping themselves to do it.
Well, but when everyone else craps themselves, maybe, you know, this is like a Patriots thing, where, like, when everyone else looks stupid and chokers, maybe you've just elevated to a certain place where that's how it looks when someone's not as good as you, or doesn't get it like you do. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I expect them to win a road game in this series. I do, but, you know, again... it's hard to predict because what's the NBA going to do with LeBron's back against the wall? What's the referee assignments? Game three, boy, I can't. You know, LeBron's whole thing—he's leaving Cleveland. How does he want to leave? Is he gonna really shut it down this year with him? So, like, there's some variables there that Cleveland crawls back into the thing. But I don't know. Like, their will, Cleveland's will, is so weak. It's so thin. They have
brittle.
They have no will. And if you just establish yourself over them, they're not going to fight through it.
I mean, gutless losers up and down that whole roster. And you saw it last night, late in that game. Jeff Green.
Oh, my God.
There was a...
Oh, my God, that guy.
There was something that happened. It was either late in the third, earlier in the fourth, where, you know, he doesn't get a call. He's bitching to the ref. You see his shoulders slump, the head down. Like, and he immediately gets called out by the TV crew, thankfully. And that's where they really started to get on these guys. But even Kyle Korver late in the game, where he's Jason Tatum misses a layup. Korver falls on his ass, doesn't get back up, and Jaylen Brown puts it back in. Like, get up, you puke. Get up and fight.
Oh,
what is wrong with you? You're sitting there on your ass looking for the call. That's that whole team.
Jeff Green.
The Gandhi of basketball, as Shaughnessy named him.
Jeff Green is offensive to me.
Passive resistance.
No, that is, he is, his body language.
Oh, it's brutal.
His effort level when he's not in the play or he just, you know, someone beats him by a step. What a quitting, gutless dog. Jeff Green offends me. Watching that guy how much does he make? Millions of dollars? You loser, gutless dog. Oh, my God. He makes me, just to make myself feel better, that's when I had to turn over and watch some hockey or watch some Red Sox, because like, I can't look at you.
It offends your sports sensibilities.
No, it does. It offends my sports sensibilities. That you could be in the Eastern Conference Finals and just slug along the way you slug along. Oh, my God. He is a disgrace.
He might be the second most useless Cav.
Next to J.R. Smith.
Bingo.
But at least J.R. Smith, there's really very little good to say about J.R. Smith.
But he has lightning in a bottle nights.
He has lightning in a bottle nights, and I think he's a, you know, I think he's a cheap, dirt. Like, that thing on Horford was dirty. He should have been thrown out of the game. But at least he's in there to do that. At least he's in there enough to throw a cheap shot. Jeff Green? Oh, my God, this guy.
So, again, speaking of the disparity, you see losers like that. And then Marcus Smart, who you start off with the sound of last night with Grandy, and he's right. Like, that was maybe the ultimate Marcus Smart game. Diving all over the place. Immediately in J.R. Smith's face after that dirty push. Like, he was all over the place. That's why. That's the Marcus Smart game. That's so, you know, while he's going to drive you nuts, chucking up threes, there ain't a shot in the world he doesn't think he can make. But everything else he brings to the table, you need that guy.
See, but when you say Cleveland supporting cast, like, I think Love showed up last night.
Love played a pretty good game.
That was Kevin Love.
Love, Thompson, LeBron. That was it.
And Thompson, I thought, did his job. You know, he was putbacks and rebounds and sort of, he was engaged. So I think, you know, LeBron, Love, and Thompson, like, that was it. The rest of them?
Dogs.
Oh, my God.
Dogs.
They are offensive, the rest of that group. That is offensive. And then even, you know, LeBron sets tone where he's not going to run out to the three-point line, and by the time you get to the second half, no one's running out to the three-point line, including Kevin Love, including all of them. And it's like, boy, it's hard to win that way. You got to be really, really good, and LeBron is, but it's hard to win that way.
I mean, it's sadly, I don't think it's the worst collection he's ever played with. I think that team in, you know,
2007, 2010 were bad.
My God. Might be the most gutless, though.
Oh, this team is. It's heartless. There's no two ways about it. How they're wired are totally different. That part of it is totally different. I think a lot of these bums are going to play better in Cleveland because that's the book. That's the standard sort of thing on those kinds of players in that league. So do I think the Celtics can win in Cleveland? Can they? Sure. Will they? I don't know.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
LeBron, Smart, gobbles him up, two in a shot clock, crazy follow.
Oh.
Three is good. LeBron has 19 points in 8 minutes and 33 seconds to start game two. Al Horford goes left side, Jaylen Brown all alone for three.
It can be a spectacular if you want to, because Brown is coming right back at him. He has 10 points.
Make it 13 for Jaylen Brown. LeBron spins out Rozier. Tatum comes in. Instead of going for the ball or trying to stand in his way, he just charged towards LeBron and now picks up a foul. Jason Tatum's left shoulder hit LeBron's jaw.
Okay, now that might have been a good one. If LeBron comes back, is he woozy? I'm telling you, he might be, or we say he might be woozy. LeBron James is going back to the locker room.
Morris drives right side, past him, scores it on the foul. And Marcus Morris screaming into the face of Tristan Thompson.
And you know what? You always scream when your brother's standing right there behind you. Like, what you gonna do now? My brother's right behind me.
Thompson punches the rebound in the air, but it ends up in the hands of Rozier. He's going to beat LeBron James down the floor and slam it hard with the right hand.
Go for that one, Mr. James. Get some of that. Scary Terry, elevate it. You want to chase something down? Chase that Cheeto down.
Celtics can go up by 10. Smart lob. Horford catches and got fouled. Pushed in the back by J.R. Smith. Pounce entry. Here's Horford. Spins on Kevin Love. Reverses it up and in. Scored on the foul.
Sandwich time, people. Oh, great move. Took the baseline. Laid it up. Soft as a baby's butt. On the backside.
Brad and his coaching staff always talk to us about being locked in the moment. So we're just trying to stay locked in and focus on each other and you know, decrease all the outside noise and distractions.
Not as much Horford love as I thought I'd get there from Jimmy Stewart in our game mix, but Horford deserves a lot of credit. I love the way he responded after that J.R. Smith push.
God, that was the ball.
Tremendous. tremendous.
They were right to call it out, too. When do you ever really see that kind of thing? He gets up, and then he dunks and does the old, like the Hogan
that,
flex.
It was like the next three or four trips up and down the floor on both ends of the floor.
He was awesome during that stretch.
So engaged.
He was dynamite during that stretch.
There's a theory out there as to why Al has been more aggressive and more personally aggressive, and that's Kyrie Irving has had a massive influence on his personality and being more outgoing.
Aha. Uh-huh. So how'd Kyrie do that? What was the key?
He told him to be more aggressive and be more outgoing.
That's all it took. All right. We'll take it. All right. We get right to your reaction here.
He kissed him.
Larry and Duxbury, lead us off. Go ahead, Larry.
Hi, guys. I think that the LeBron and Cleveland took the Celts a little for granted going into the series after the sweep with Toronto. And you know, the Celts had trouble with Toronto. They just don't seem in the way of LeBron going back to the finals. Game one, I don't think, surprised them. It's like, okay, this is the Celtics moment. It's last night that was the big wake-up call, because I think no matter what LeBron does, he's not going to be the reason they lose the series, or Kevin Love. It's like when Michael used to score 50 or 60 against the Celts and lose. And after Saturday's game, every game is every other day. And if this goes 6 or 7, I don't see them keeping up with the Celtics' speed. They're going to be tired.
So I'm going to stop you there, because you just gave us like 8 things. But that last thing is so true. LeBron's conserving on defense now with all these days off. Right after Saturday, it's every other game. I mean, he ain't running to the 3-point line on D now. What's it going to be if you get to 5, 6, 7?
Yeah, listen, they're ready to topple. If you give them a good shove, they're ready to topple.
Or just take their punch and be standing there. And that's what happened last night. The Celts took their punch. The Cavs showed up. LeBron put it in your face, the whole thing. And then they look up. It's a 6-point game. Like, oh, huh? What? Now we actually got to grind this out for the next 24 minutes? No, they don't have it in them.
So they don't have it in them to grind it. That part is true.
And so did they overlook the Celtics? Yes, I think everybody has. Everybody has. Including themselves. I mean, like, if you know, you could just tell talking to Wick yesterday in studio, the Celtics weren't expecting, they weren't even expecting them to be or to look this way at this time of year. That they could make it interesting and they believe in their team and all of this. But did any of them think that they'd be in this position?
No. He said it himself, and I believe him. I think he's telling the truth. He's surprised.
Of course. Here's Patrick in the car. Go ahead, Patrick.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just want to say real proud of the way Celtics played the last two games, but my question for you guys is, do you think that we're at the twilight of the end of the LeBron effect, where teams are pulling players from different places, players getting traded, versus now looking at someone like Brad Stevens with team building with rookies and coming up with youth after the series? Your thoughts on that?
I don't. I think if LeBron is sitting there in the draft, you're going to take him and you're going to build your team around him. And if that superstar wants his coach, he's going to get his coach. Like, that's the way it's going to be. And unless there's more Brad Stevens is there lurking around the college ranks, which you tell me, are there more of those guys out there? Doesn't feel that way.
Well, no, probably. I mean, there's got to be a guy at a small school somewhere that's getting, you know, good return on his talent. I mean, let's not forget, too, the Celtics have two guys that playing for him right now who are number 3 picks in the draft.
This is a good point.
So it's not like, you know, they got no talent. I mean, to me, I come back to that. And I'm sorry if this makes me anti-coaching and whatever else. But Jason Tatum's development, and for that matter, Brown, too, that's the single biggest reason you are where you are. Those two guys. Unbelievable.
Jimmy in New Hampshire, what do you got?
Yeah, hey, guys. I'll tell you something. For all the talk we've been doing about the Celtics, I'm like, this run seems amazingly similar to the first Patriots Super Bowl run. Like, the whole country thought we weren't going to win the first round of the playoffs. Like, they were just against us all the way through, and yet we all know what we did. We started a dynasty, and that's what's happening with the Celtics right now. A month ago, I was in Vegas. I put 2,000 on them to win the East at 20-1. So I got 42 grand coming my way if they finish Cleveland off. I'm telling you, we're faster, we're younger, we're stronger. They had 83 points in the first game, 94 yesterday. You think they're going to Cleveland to score 110, Mass?
So I think...
Yes, Jimmy, you may now put your pants back on. Thank you for the call.
Jimmy, I think their chance of winning... I don't think they're stopping you. So that's their only shot is just for some of these other guys to start making shots. That's the only way Cleveland's going to win. Other than LeBron, Love, and Korver, the rest of the guys are like 3-for-21 from three-point land. You know, Jeff Green, J.R. Smith. Now, look, they suck. Those guys suck.
And they're quitting dogs.
They really are,
It's not just sucking. Like, sucking I can take. Sucking, you suck. That's it. You suck. Fine. But you give me an honest effort. Jeff Green and J.R. Smith, what a couple of bums.
I posted on Twitter last night, who's more useless, Jeff J.R. Smith or Jeff Green?
Oh, Jeff Green. There is no one more useless than Jeff Green.
J.R. Smith was winning in a landslide.
Oh, he shouldn't have been. I mean, he's a worse guy. Like, so we hate J.R. Smith more. He stands out more. But at least he stood in the lane to give someone a cheap shot. Does Jeff Green touch the paint?
No.
He's afraid to go in there. That is a dog's dog. That is. He is offensive. He offends my sports sensibilities, that guy.
Traded Kendrick Perkins for him.
Bobby in East Boston. Go ahead, Bobby.
Hey, what's up, guys? First of all, Maz, you're such a fraud when it comes to basketball. I mean, you still just don't get it. It's not about LeBron. You know the numbers 72 to 12, what those numbers are?
No, tell
me. Jaylen Brown and Rozier versus George Hill and J.R. Smith. Starting backcourt points for two games. Who stops them? I don't care about LeBron. LeBron can do whatever he wants, like he did last night. Who stops Jaylen Brown and the rest of the young guys? Because they're backcourt.
Don't you love how this narrative changed, though, Bobby? You were probably one of the guys that called us the other day that said that Celtics defense has figured out LeBron and he's not going to get his. Because we got
no,
that.
It has nothing to do with figuring out LeBron. It has. You can let him do what you want. That's what Brad Stevens and the Boston Celtics understand.
That's not what I heard the other day, Bobby. The other day I heard about how they're helping off of their guys. They're building a wall. It's Marcus Morris, best possession numbers per 100, and Al Horford's cheating off of his guy. They're playing under the screens. They're making LeBron shoot the three. Like, I heard about this master plan against LeBron. So what happened now? So which one is it?
Yeah, no, LeBron's unstoppable. Okay, like you didn't hear that from me, as you know. In fact, last night to me is closer to what he thought the Celtics were going to have to do to win the series.
Is it about stopping him or letting him get his and beating all the other bums on the floor?
Beating the other bums. That's what it is. It's about beating the other bums. And the only reason I say to you that I don't think it's quite over yet is, and look, you don't have to win in Cleveland, but I do think these bums are going to play better in Cleveland than they do in Boston. That's all. So if the Celtics get one there, forget it. It's over.
I still don't think it was that easy on LeBron. I mean, some of those shots. I mean, the spin around, turn around, three at the on the sideline. I mean, what was that? I heard this stat. ESPN had it. I think LeBron had 29 attempts. 28 were contested. So he was, you know, you were still playing defense on him. And I think him and the Cavs, it just got to a point where they got to the third quarter and they're like, wait a minute, you haven't just laid down yet? You know, we just did our thing. LeBron just went for 21 in the first quarter, and, you know, he took over, and you're still here? We still got to play? Ah, screw this. Like that's the Cavs.
Oh, the Celtics have all totally outworked them. And again, Cleveland expects you to collapse, and then you don't, and they don't know how to fight. And so, to me, like, give the Celtics all the credit in the world for that. There's no two ways about it. They want it more. They're younger, they're faster, they're hungrier. And as you were just talking, did LeBron have a dunk last night?
No, and I think he had no points in transition, and I can't think of a dunk.
So the closest he had was a left-handed lay-in over Aaron Baines.
Right. I remember that.
But yeah. And Aaron Baines, I mean, he had to work.
He did. He had to work for everything.
The stat was they contested 28 of his 29 shots.
See, I still think he's taking too many jumpers. I still think LeBron's got to put his head down and just bowl people over. But nonetheless, 42, triple-double, it is what it is. He's not the problem for them. He's not.
Here's Murray's update, and we're right back.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And pick number 10 will be made by the Philadelphia 76ers.
This was originally the Lakers pick, folks, but due to multiple trades, it will go to Philadelphia. Boston, who could have received this pick if it had landed between 2 and 5, or actually 2 and 3, will now likely receive the Kings' 2019 first-round pick.
All right, so you can't win them all, Green Teamers. I really thought, though, whoa, when they flipped that envelope at number 10, I'm like, watch. Watch this. The way things are going for you guys, like, holy crap, they're going to get a lottery pick, too. Just, I knew I was bent over ready to get spanked. I just knew it was coming. So I was actually surprised the Celts didn't get a lottery pick last night, but they didn't. It's pretty much went according to Hoyle. And they will get the lower of Sacramento's or Philly's pick next year. unless it's number one overall. Then what happens if it's number one overall?
Then they get the Philly pick.
Then it gets the Philly pick.
Right. They're getting the pick next year no matter what. It's just the better of those two unless it's number one.
So the only team that jumped was actually Sacramento itself, right?
Yeah, Atlanta did also.
Oh, so two teams jumped.
The Kings jumped five spots last night.
Yeah, they went from 7-2. Atlanta went from 4-3.
After 10, I tuned out, obviously. So Sacramento jumps in there. That's not good for you. That means they should be better next year, right?
In theory.
I mean, who knows? These 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids.
Exactly, right. Depending on the impact of the player they get. But, you know, to me, though, it does sort of fortify the idea that Phoenix is going to be better. Like,
yeah.
So I think Phoenix is going to, you know, Phoenix is going to make a jump next year. Like, and when I say jump, I don't know if they're going to be Philly, but to me, that's going to be a respectable team next year now.
Okay, we continue with your reaction to the game, the series. If you want to weigh in on the lottery, by all means, here's Pete in Delaware. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. I got a comment and a question for you. The comment is, you guys are right. Yesterday, you're talking about defense, and it's all about defense right now. I mean, the Celtics had, I believe, 42 uncontested shots last night compared to Cleveland's 11. Oh. You're not going to lose many games with that big disparity. And, guys, I have a question for
you. Hold on, Pete. The Celtics had 42 uncontested shots?
It was either 42 or 43.
Where do you get that? Where do you get that stat from?
Actually, that one was on ESPN, but there's also a site you can go to on NBA.com. They actually look at that now.
Okay, we're going to endeavor to look that up. I mean, it feels right. I mean, that's huge.
Celtics are getting better looks. There's no two ways about it.
Well, Pete, what else do you have?
And hey, I have a question. Has anybody yet marketed the gooned up green shirt with Ty Lue's comments yet? I'm waiting for that to hit the Boston area. Someone's got to market that shirt.
He's talking about Ty Lue says the Celtics are gooning it up. When J.R. Smith tried to push Al Horford into the second round, that was so cheap, that J.R. Smith push. I can't tell you.
See, I want to know what game Lou was watching.
Tyronn Lue, yes.
Like I'm starting to wonder whether he's as out to lunch as his team is. Gooned it up?
You're starting to wonder?
What? But I mean, like, not even engaged. Like, goon it up? What did they goon up?
He's got to be talking about, and he's wrong, but he's got to be talking about when Tatum kind of gave the elbow or the shoulder inadvertently to LeBron James, but it was inadvertent.
And then right. Marcus Smart gets in, well,
Smith's face. Yeah, rightfully so, because it was a dirtbag play.
I agree with that. Marcus Morris screaming bloody murder at Tristan Thompson was, I don't know if it's gooning it up. I mean, it's something.
See, but I
don't know. How's this, Tyron? Just playing with some fire and some passion?
Right, exactly.
What's wrong with this?
Competitiveness. Oh, balls. Heart. All of it. That's what it is. And you know what? He knows it. He's just grasping at anything he needs to grasp at because his team's getting embarrassed, frankly. Like, what are the words? I find it appalling that the Cavs, like, can just roll over like that in the conference final. I find it appalling.
It shouldn't be that surprising. Murray and I were one of these who, during the middle of the year, we'd see some Cavs games or, you know, me snippets of games or things and say, well, that's it. You don't need to worry about the Cavs. I wrote the Cavs off 6 months ago. And then they survive round one and then they sweep Toronto and it's like, oh, okay, so maybe they can just flip. So you sort of like forget how you felt a couple months ago.
I wasn't going to read too much into that Toronto sweep, though. That's more about Toronto than the Cavs.
I mean, clearly now, like, look at it.
Oh, right.
I mean, what does this tell you about the Raptors?
Oh, my God.
I mean, they had them surgically removed about 3 years ago, the Raptors. They got nothing down there.
But in terms of that, you know, in terms of their will to win, this is who the Cavs have been all season long. I mean, it is. Will and Needham with the inevitable look ahead. Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, so right now Celtics are pretty much playing one top-tier scorer, but if we play the Warriors, we'd probably have to deal with three if you count Klay Thompson. So if you're Brad Stevens, what's your defense? What do you set the defensive matchup?
Okay, so we aren't even to Cleveland yet.
No, I don't mind playing this game, though.
But now we're matching up against the Warriors.
I've actually already thought about this a little.
Okay, I'm sure you have, but I don't want to spend too much time on it. We've got a whole series. We got 2 weeks to go until that thing starts.
Okay.
So NBA Finals start May 31st.
I'm going to make it easy for you.
2 weeks from today or whatever.
Tomorrow.
We got a long time.
Smart gets Curry. Smart get, you can't put Smart on.
Don't invite people to do this, though, because I don't want to do this today.
No, I'm just telling you, Smart gets Curry, and then it's either Marcus Morris or Tatum or Brown on Durant.
Yeah.
You have no other choice. Although, you know what?
What is Coach Stevens
going to have? I've heard Marcus Morris is the number one Kevin Durant defender.
Yeah, of course you are. I don't want to do this yet. Can we get through Cleveland first? Can we just get to 3-0? I mean, if they go 3-0, I'll let you do it. But otherwise, we got too much time to fill on that.
I'm worried about Draymond Green.
Mike and Methuen, go ahead, Mike.
Horford gets him.
Can we please stop with all the, like, toughness and grittiness and coaching and all this other nonsense? This is a talent league. It always has been, and it always will be. The only reason the Celtics are in this position right now is because their top three, their number three overall picks over the course of the last couple of years are playing better than we expected them to this early in their careers, and the guy that you're paying max money to is actually playing like a max money player. That's it. And anything else is sort of extra, and it's nice to talk about, and it's fun, but it's meaningless.
So the coaching and the toughness and the teamwork and that sort of stuff you think is way, way, way down the list, Mike?
Yes, because it was the exact same last year, and they got absolutely whacked by Cleveland.
Well, the coaching was the same, that's for sure. I don't know
and
if the,
so was the
but
so
I don't know if the makeup
and
was
grittiness
the,
and all that other stuff. The biggest difference is the talent. They have the talent defensively, and they have their guys who should be their best players in the next couple of years are playing like their best players. That's
okay.
It.
Okay. I mean it's a fair point.
He's not far off.
I mean, is it possible Stevens continues to get better? Because I think that's possible.
Sure.
With every round that he goes through and every game that he coaches, I think he learns more and actually gets better. I mean, so I think that's possible. In terms of the grittiness, I mean, Morris has made you tougher, right? I mean,
even Baines.
Morris is tougher than Crowder or Avery Bradley, right? And Baines is certainly tougher than Olynyk or Amir Johnson or whatever he's replacing. So I think you could say that you're tougher. Not a ton tougher, but it's a fair point. I mean, you said it earlier. It's about Tatum and Brown.
I mean, to me, it's those two guys. Again, and I put Tatum first. You put Brown first. Honestly, split the difference. It's about both of them, really. So, like, I just think that that's the biggest thing that happened to them this year was the development of those two guys. They came in, all of a sudden you're getting 30 points a night out of two guys who are hard to defend.
All right, what's being said about Cleveland? We get to that next in our long commercial-free segment and with you.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What you saw from the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight in the second half was an absolute embarrassment. You keep bringing up what Jeff Van Gundy said. You may have left out the line of the year. Jeff Van Gundy at some point in the third quarter said, there's so much eye rolling going on with the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're like a married couple that are tired of one another. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. It was the most hilarious line of the month as far as I'm concerned. But the Cleveland Cavaliers were an absolute disgrace in the second half. They gave a lackluster effort. They played no defense whatsoever, and when you take into account the fact that your starting backcourt of George Hill and J.R. Smith were outscored 41-3 by Rozier and Jaylen Brown, that really tells you the story that you really, really need to know.
All right, Stephen A. Smith. Obviously, on the Cavs. He goes on and gives LeBron some criticism, too. I'm not going to play the whole thing. It's like 3-4 minutes. But he goes on to criticize LeBron for not doing what you said earlier, and that is getting to the rim and being too passive and the fall-away shots and the fade-away jumpers as opposed to bowling his way to the rim.
I mean, I just think there was one time early in the game where he put his shoulder down and he got there. And I thought, where is that? Like, to me, he's got to do more of that. That'll put the Celtics on their heels.
And let me tell you what, whenever Stephen A. does that, and we'll play some cuts here from the TV broadcast, I give the NBA a lot of credit. They let these guys rip into their stars. LeBron gets criticism, not from everybody. Like, there's the LeBron defense team. But I don't think that's like some sort of edict from the league, because the ESPN personnel are all over LeBron and the Cavs. Like, the ABC broadcast is... That's still ESPN, right? Aren't they? That's one company. So, like, I think they're actually okay with these guys telling it like it is, and I respect that. I don't think a lot of leagues do that. I know hockey doesn't. I don't think the guys at NBC get it, because I think when Milbury and these guys are critical, they hear about it, and they're not allowed to be. Another example, the NBC guys, I don't think they get it. The basketball guys, they get it. In the middle of these broadcasts, you heard Van Gundy last night, right? You heard Jackson.
I thought Van Gundy in particular, I thought was dead on last night.
Terrific! Like, LeBron's dogging it or the team's dogging it, they get on him. And Stephen A., the lead commentator on ABC/ESPN, absolutely tore into LeBron after game one. Was not as bad last night because LeBron, you know, did have a triple-double. But no problem going after the culture on that team and just going right at him. I wish I could hear that on the hockey stuff on NBC. I don't get to hear it. I don't get to hear it on NBC on the hockey stuff.
I'm not sure you hear it much in any league other than basketball.
Maybe that's it. Maybe one example where basketball is the only one that gets it. Because the stuff with Van Gundy last night and Jackson I thought was excellent. Like, for example.
Rozier wide open. Puts it in. A three-pointer for Terry Rozier. 14 points here in this third quarter.
Give the Celtics a lot of credit. They have turned it up. The Cavs defense has been absolutely awful.
You got to rotate. You can't just stand in the lane and hope someone misses. This isn't a back-to-back. This isn't a back-to-back in two different cities.
You ever hear an NFL announcer rip into Peyton Manning when he and his team doesn't show up like
no.
that?
No. No. In fact, it's the opposite. What you get is the apologies for it and the excuses and everything else.
Good for Van Gundy and ABC and Mark Jackson. But what I really say is good for the NBA because they let that happen. That's all, where it all comes from, folks. The guys that are washing the undercarriage are told to, or they have to. It starts with the leagues and the team that allows you to give honest commentary. And obviously, Adam Silver in the NBA is allowing ABC, ESPN to give honest comment. And not everywhere, but I'm telling you, when Stephen A. and these guys are all over them, it's because the NBA is letting them do their job. So I give the NBA credit for this. So again, they point out, not that, you know, Jimmy, play the stuff that he said when they were coming back from commercial, and they actually then went over the
showed the replay of it.
The
yeah.
replay of the guys not rotating. Guess who wasn't rotating? They're not afraid to call him out.
Yeah, and they get a mismatch here with Tatum guarding Korver. They feel the need to double. They swing it from Morris to Rozier, and no one. It's either James or Love is supposed to rotate. They choose neither guy. And Budweiser, do me a favor. Send a 12-pack to Ty Lue for having to watch that film tonight. He's going to need it. Because, Mike, if you have to beg your guys to give effort like on those plays when it's not going good, you're hoping against hope. Like, there should be no question about your effort, your mental stability. It should be whether we're just good enough on a certain night. From shooting it to maybe turnovers, missed free throws, but not in the playoffs.
That foul is on Smart, holding on the entry pass.
And Coach is right. They've got to be embarrassed. He's more passionate about their lack of energy and effort than they seem to be.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Calling them right out.
And look, it shouldn't be lost on anyone, right? It's LeBron and Love.
They go right to the replay, and Van Gundy says, "Well, it's James or Love." Goes right at LeBron.
The two best players on the team.
Oh, it's tremendous.
I mean, great because for him and Jackson, I'm sorry to cut you off, Maz. I mean, these guys are former NBA coaches. It has to offend them to their core to watch that lack of effort from guys like that.
Oh, it's pathetic, really. That play to me was revealing. Maybe the most revealing play of the night. Because again, those are your leaders. That's not J.R. Smith and Jeff Green.
And it permeates the team.
Oh, totally does. Once those guys pack it in, everyone else is gone. Forget it.
If LeBron and Love won't run out to the three-point line, why should I? So you don't need to give Jeff Green an excuse.
So that, to me, looks like a team that has resigned itself to the reality. Like, when veteran players start doing that, then you go, uh-oh. Like, you know, like I look at it and say they're ready to pack it in.
Give me more from the broadcast lesson.
The Cavs eye-roll each other more than a couple in a bad marriage.
Korver can't hit.
What a good line that was.
Totally. Yeah, and it's true. I mean, you know, I can't believe you did that. As if you were, you know, as if the guy rolling his eyes was trying on the last play. It really is. It's pathetic at times to watch them.
Eye roll each other more than a couple in a bad marriage. Ah,
you know what that really is? It's a front-running team. That's what it is. When they're out in front and they're playing well, everything's great, no problem. So if they're steamrolling Toronto, Murray, and Toronto's a willing participant in that steamrolling, then everything's great. They steamroll right over you. As soon as you resist them a little, they crack.
You got one more, Jimmy.
And I'll say this about Cleveland. I think Boston's clearly the better team, right? There's no shame in losing to a better team. But they owe themselves, if this is the end of this four-year run together, to do it the right way. Like, stay together, fight as hard as you can. If you can turn it and win four or five, go to the finals, great.
And even if you can't, feel good about how you went about losing in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh, it's just basically saying you're quitting. Just calling them out as quitters. If you're going to lose to a better team, do it the right way, because you're not doing it right now. You're quitting.
Right, try.
So, excellent stuff on ABC. And again, I credit the league for letting him do it and not crawling down Van Gundy's pants and saying, no, you have to protect our marquee player and our marquee team. They don't do that. I guess the other leagues do. They must. And so, you know, maybe that's just another example of the NBA getting it. Let me just play one LeBron cut quickly. So how does he respond to all this? He's asked Jimmy, play the one where he's asked about how will he recalibrate. The last time he trailed 2-0 in an Eastern Conference series was against you in 08, I guess, or something.
10 years ago when he lost.
Something like this. So he's asked, you know, how do you recalibrate now going back to Cleveland?
I'm going to go home tonight and see my three kids, see my family, recalibrate, see my mom.
Okay, so stop. I'll be fine. As soon as you do that, uh-oh. Why don't you just bring your kid out there and put him on the podium? That'll protect you more. You can always go to the kids. I'm going to go home and see my family. I'm fine. I got a great family. I'm going to go home. This doesn't affect me. As soon as you do that, I'm like, uh-oh. We all have families. We all got kids. Like, do you want to win or not? So it really doesn't matter to you?
I hear the family likes Philadelphia these days.
No, but that's exactly what it is. You go to the real life thing because it's, you know, that's more important. So you write off the loss.
It's such a cop-out. Is this not important to you? So go ahead.
I'm not going to lose sleep over it. You go out and you lay everything on the line. You know, at the end of the day, you can live with that. So, you know, I'll recalibrate as far as how I can help this team continue to be successful, how I can do some things to make us be even more complete. You know, the only way I probably won't get no sleep tonight if Kev don't get a question asked, probably at the end of the day.
I'm with that, Dave. Don't do it, Dave.
So, I'm going to lose a lot of sleep if someone doesn't ask him a question.
So then he makes the joke because it's him and Kevin
Love.
It's fine. So him and Kevin Love are sitting there at the podium, and no one's asking Kevin Love a question. Like, why would you? And so he makes the joke there. So, I'm going to sleep well tonight and go home and see my mom. You know, you guys going to ask Kevin a question? I don't know. How do you feel about that his whole demeanor there?
Well, the losses don't hurt him as much anymore. And he's probably checked out in some ways, and he's already picked out his next team or knows what his next destination is.
I'm going to give you the same word. Resignation. Resignation. Like, they looked like a team to me last night that said, we're not going to beat these guys.
Okay, here's the polar opposite coming up right after Murray's update. A guy on the Celtics who I've always liked, and the more I hear from him, the more I like, and really sort of just the antithesis of what you just heard. Right after Murray's update here, 90 seconds, no commercials. Stick around.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.